Matthew 16, but then go to Ephesians 4. We'll start with Ephesians 4. I'm not quite sure. I can use my imagination and figure out how it happened, but I'm not quite sure how we got so far in left field when it comes down to church. And it's become about so many other things when the original intent was one. That's it. The Holy Spirit showed me something last week, and we all know this scripture, but he showed it to me differently. And he was talking to me about how simple his plan really is, but we've made it difficult. And that's why it's hard for us to comprehend our oneness with God. If you go back from the beginning, there was a tree of life, which is singular, and then there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, which sounds even complicated when you say it. Tree of life, boom. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's like a whole nother set of things now. And now your thoughts have immediately become complicated because we partake from that tree. Mm-hmm. It's really making us understand the choices that we can make in our lives. That wasn't a one-time moment thing. It's actually a current choice that you're making on a daily basis. And so when we chose, and I say we because I know we try to blame it on Adam and Eve all the time, but it's us. When we chose to eat from that tree, we chose to think like we think about things, which is always overcomplicated. It's always too many prayers, too many confessions, too many words, not enough results. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Not enough coming from how much we say. Amen. We got all the sayings down, but the being and the manifestation seems to be lacking. And it's because we overcomplicate. It's simplicity. He told the rich young ruler, one thing you're lacking. How many? Mary and Martha, he said, one thing is needful. How many things?
One.
Just one thing is needful. Everybody say one thing.
One thing.
Come on, say it again, one thing.
One thing.
One more time, just one thing.
One.
Sounds simple, huh? One is always more simple than two. Mm-hmm. Trying to catch one is more simple than trying to catch two things. And if we understood the root of how God set things up, the prayer Jesus prayed in John 17, that they may be one as we are one. Mm-hmm. It goes one, 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 one. I can take you all over the Bible. It's one, 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 one. Mm-hmm. And every problem came from separation.
Yes, sir.
Every problem came from either separation or distinction or thinking that you were something else or thinking that you were better than someone else or thinking that someone else was better than you. Every problem came from the idea of separation. It's an illusion. The world blows up right now, right? The earth explodes right now. Who dies? Everybody? Yeah, no, just some people. No, one. There's one earth. And it's going to affect, there's an illusion of separation. There's an illusion. Separation is an illusion. See, you think you're not me. So that's why you treat me the way you do. Or vice versa. You either esteem me too high or esteem me too low because you don't think we're one. That's because we've been taught separation. We've been taught separation since the beginning. Beginning of our lives, we've been taught separation. We've got different names. What's your last name? What's your last name? It's amazing. All of us, when we bleed, though, the blood is the same color. It's crazy, right? But we breed. We've been taught separation, and it is complicated things. What's your last name? Thompson. Like that's. I gotta name all y'all, and I gotta remember everybody's name, right? Right now, it just got complicated. Right now, I can give you a test on what everybody's name is in the class, and it'd be fail. Right now, me too. Cause it's complicated. It becomes complicated, and so we have all, and it's just us in this class. We're not talking about how many people watching online. We're not talking about how many people going to church with you on Sunday. All these different names and nationalities, and it's just it's complicated. Mm-hmm. God is not complicated,
amen.
Nor is his plan. Jesus was never complicated. I found out that the disciples could not understand Jesus because they were looking for a complicated answer. They had an idea from all the years of being trained in the law. It was so many things they had to pick up that it had to be difficult. The Sadducees and the Pharisees had set it up for it to be difficulty. They had set it up for it to be hard. They set it up so difficult to where you weren't going to be able to reach it. What the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh. You were bound to fail. You get one law right, that law made you break another one. Like doing that law broke this one. It's complicated. But it was never, Paul said it, he says in Corinthians, he said, I'm concerned that you're being deceived and being beguiled by the subtlety of the serpent. Mm-hmm. Just like in the beginning, of the system, of the way things are around you, outside of you. Yeah. And you're being beguiled and you're being deceived away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus makes a statement, he said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, you'll find rest for your soul. No complications. He said, because my yoke is now, you know, you look at your life right now, you call them a lie. You look at the way you think about things, you call them a lie. Just list the things you got to get ready for on church Sunday. No disrespect, but just think about it. I got to get this together. This got to be prayer on this time. Make sure I got this on. I'm not saying don't do those things. But I'm saying we overcomplicate because we lead with those things and not with the one. See, those things don't make you one, but one fills those things. Yes, sir. Your clothes don't make you. You make your clothes. Amen. Are y'all getting it?
Yes, sir.
Your clothes are not what make you something. Mm-hmm. You fill. You the one that fills all that and makes that move and everything. Mm-hmm. It's simple. Everybody say it's simple. I don't know how. I do know how. It's just man and a bunch of ideas. And then, you know, Jeff had an idea. So everybody was cool with Jeff's idea until they ain't like what Jeff was doing. So now somebody else got, mom got to have an idea now. And now the Church of Marvin, in Jesus' name. That's what they call it. You know what I'm saying? The Jeffians. I mean, that's literally Lutherans. That's literally the man name. It doesn't, because it's been so established, and it was all established before all of us were born.
Right.
So we walked into this complication.
That's right.
We were born into sin, mm-hmm. complication. Mm-hmm. Whenever, that's good. Sin equals complication. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a good definition. Sin equals because you know sin is missing the mark. It's a lack of identity. It's an archery term. It's missing the mark. So it's immediate complication. Immediately I become complicated. They say when they ate from the tree, immediately they say sin entered in. How we describe it, right? Yeah, complication. Immediately we start thinking all kind of thoughts that we ain't had no business thinking. We started defining things that had no definition. I hid because I was naked. What? God didn't say that I made man naked. He said I made man in my. That was enough clothes. But because we started getting smart, we decided to clothe ourselves. And then the process goes on up until now where we are in 2020 coming up, right? And it's complicated. The scripture says, write the vision. Y'all know the scripture? Can y'all quote it? Write the vision, what it'll say. Make it what? Oh, and then what happened? And he didn't read it. Run with it, right? But it was write the vision, do what? What's the opposite of plain?
Complicated.
So simple, how long have we been knowing that scripture? And he hear me the other day, he say, see, hey, it's easy. He say, the reason ain't nobody running because it's too complicated. The vision, it's too many steps. Come on, y'all know how many steps. Hit the knee this time, then hit the knee on that side. Y'all know how many steps. Come on, y'all be honest about it. Nobody want to say it because we start feeling some kind of way. It's too complicated.
Yes, sir.
It's too complicated because we've overcomplicated it because we, it's too, you ever heard the statement, it's too good to be true?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it can't just be one thing. I can't be one with God. I know we say I'm one with God. But it's like, you don't feel like it all day long, do you? No, you're like, I can't be. And so I still want to go talk to God. Mm-hmm. When me and God are one. So his words are mine and my words are his. Mm-hmm. So this is surrendering. It's the ultimate surrendering. Amen. But it can't be. That can't be true. Not me. Jesus could be one with God, not me. Apostle could be one with God, not me. Pastor could be one with God, not me. It seems too good to be. Jesus, I am the way and the truth is a person. Write the vision, make it. It's immediate movement when things are made plain. It's immediate progress when things are made plain. We've been writing visions, but they just been complicated and steps after steps after steps. And people just quit. I know why people quit church. They do too much. See, hold on. I watch this. It's not about being, now we got to start saying, you got to be committed. You got to be dedicated. You got to be diligent. You got to be consistent. Let me show you something. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to do a little research. Matthew chapter 16, we'll go back to Ephesians 4. I'm going to talk to you about your diligence, your consistency, and your... So chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, the Pharisees with the Sadducees came, and we're going to find out who they are in a second. Because, you know, we be saying that stuff, and we be assuming, but we don't really do no research. Anybody got any research on the Pharisees and Sadducees in here? Like any details? No? So y'all been reading it too and just been assuming they just some other people, right? Y'all really don't know the details of the Pharisees and Sadducees, right? They're two different sets of people. Mm-hmm. You don't know the details. Anybody? No. Anybody done any study on the Pharisees and Sadducees? Okay, let me teach you a lesson. Stop reading the Bible and looking over stuff and assuming what was told you is already what it is. And go do you some research. Google, right? Like... The Strong's, I got a Strong's, hit it, get a Strong's dictionary, or get a Strong's app on your Bible, and hit the word, and you'll find context is everything. So you can't really get content without context. So you're saying things and reading things, you don't even know what was being said. I'm going to show you. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and we just know them as the bad people who are trying to kill Jesus, right? As the haters, right? Or whatever we want to call them, right? And that's true, but to get a little detail of why they were like they were makes a little bit more sense. Desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather when the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but cannot ye discern the signs of the times? It's a question. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. What? Do I read that part? Miracle, signs, and wonders. Go again. Read that part.
A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign.
Read it one more time. We won't be reading the Bible. Tell the truth. We won't be reading the Bible. We be skimming. Read again. Everybody, read it. Read it. Just want to come out your mouth. Read it. A wicked and adulterous. Yeah. Seeketh after a sign. So you out here looking for a sign. Give me a sign, Lord. Show us some signs that you. God ain't got to prove nothing else. What else he got to show? We take for granted what's here already. Gravity. You're breathing. We take for granted. We take it for granted. Give me a sign. You the sign. You the sign, and I done signed you already. Signed, sealed, delivered. So we're seeking after adulterers, going after something else. Not being one with your matrimony. You know, two become one flesh. Not being one with the one that you were one with, you're going after something else. A wicked and adulterous generation. You're looking for something else. And he says, and there shall no sign be given unto you. I know that's right, because there don't be much signs right now. But the sign of the prophet Jonah, you know what that is? Now you're just trapped. You're trapped. You're trying to get somewhere, but you're trapped. That's Jonah. Matter of fact, you didn't even want to go where I told you to go. Y'all know the story about Jonah, right? I told you to go over there, but you didn't want to go over there. You wanted to go where you wanted to go, so you're trapped. Until you realize that you need to go where I want you to go. Until you realize that you need to be who I've called you to be, you'll be trapped. Find yourself. No progress, maybe in the well. Maybe Jonah, not in the well, in the big fish, that they called it. And we said well because we just couldn't conceive a big fish, right? Inside a big fish. Well ain't in the Bible. It's not well. Okay, I just want y'all to know that. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples would come to the other side, they'd forgotten to take the bread. And this is right after he'd fed all those thousands of people. Then Jesus said to him, take heed and beware of the... No, beware of the what? Leaven, right? Of who? Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now look at the leaven. And the word leaven... It's like a boiling up. It's like a hot. It's like a heat. Like a hot. It's like a zealous. It's like a hot pursuit. Leaven was also with food. It was like a boiling or fermenting. But he was saying how they boil and they ferment. Like they seem hot behind what they believe. Beware of their zeal. Pharisees and Sadducees. Let me give you a little. Pharisees, a sect that seemed to have started after the Jewish exile. Listen to what I'm saying. In addition to the Old Testament books, the Pharisees recognized in oral tradition a standard of belief and life. They sought for distinction. Look at this. They sought for distinction. So they wanted to be separate from other people. They were doing what they do to be different so that nobody will be like them. Find a church. Saints and sinners, holy heathen. Worldly. All us worldly. Where else you live? These are small phrases. They sought distinction and praise. These are the Pharisees. By outward observance of external rites and by outward forms of piety, and such as ceremonial washings, fastings, prayers, and almsgiving, and comparatively negligent of genuine piety. They prided themselves on their fancied good works. Hold on, let me finish reading. Let me read, because I ain't even read the rest of this. They prided themselves on their fancied good works. They held strenuously to a belief in the existence of good and evil angels, and expectation of Messiah. They cherish the hope that the dead, after a preliminary experience, either a reward or penalty in Hades, will be called to life and requited, and they keep going on and on. But they're strict. They're consistent. They're diligent. They're committed to what they believe. Now we look at that and we applaud that. Beware of the zeal. Beware of the zeal just because it looks consistent. It's Pharisees, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And of the Sadducees. A religious party at the time of Christ among the Jews who denied that the oral law was a revelation of God to the Israelites. So God ain't talking to y'all. God ain't talking to none of us. Who deemed the written law alone to be obligatory on the nation. So in other words, the written law. Ain't no, God ain't speaking. He's not speaking, he's not talking, he's not doing nothing else. There's written law. That's why you write it on their faces. You tattooed on their bodies. Now find a church. As divine authority, they denied the following doctrines: the resurrection of the body, immortality of the soul, existence of spirits and angels, divine predestination, affirmed free will. So they denied. They said it was a separatist group. They called themselves the righteous. The Sadducees were. So now you got people that don't believe in angels, and you got people that believe in angels, but they come together to get Jesus. They'll work together to get him. Here comes Jesus. They call him a wine bibber and a glut. They call him a heretic. He don't ever do nothing the same. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because it'll be the same thing that you'll be building your morality off of and trying to build your identity off. See, you're building your identity on something. You know that, right? You know you're building your identity off of something. So you remember in school we used to have used to give us the little stars for little good deeds, and then you had the perfect attendance. You know, you were like, oh, you somebody now. Somebody gave you a certificate. And so you build off your merit. So now we want a degree. We want a doctorate. Then I want to be a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher. I want to be an apostle. I want to be a prophet. Denying the power thereof. Form of godliness. So it becomes difficult. And he says, beware of their committedness to difficulty. They're committed to their rules. And look, they didn't break them. They didn't break them. But they know that their rules wasn't real. Worst thing you can do is live your whole life under a set of rules and realize it wasn't real. What did Jesus say? Hey, you get the glory. He's like, all the stuff you was doing. Few of them was cool. Most of them was wasting your time. All that time I gave you. Sent you here for a reason. Clock ticking. You wasted it. I don't know how to make y'all feel, but. And he's trying to show that it is not about, consistency is not a problem. Committedness is not a problem. Diligence is not a problem. But what are you consistent and committed and diligent in? Now, why can we not be diligent in our one with God? Why must I be reminded of this? You ain't got to be reminded of what time church start on Sunday. What time church start? Go at your church. What time church start? What time prayer start? You already know what time it is. Miss a few Sundays, what's going to happen? Pastor's going to call. Or somebody, right? You know that clockwork, right? Nobody has to remind, but I got to remind you that you're one with God. They call it majoring in the minor and minoring in the major. You ever heard that statement before? I major in the minor things. And I minor, like I don't take really serious the thing that's really major. So I am one with God, say it. Yeah, but we don't hear that a lot, do we? No. Y'all, we don't hear that message. No. Ain't nobody preaching that. No. We get to it every now and then, but then we get nervous. God is not nervous. Why are you nervous? You more nervous about being one with God than he is about being one with you. He has no qualms about it. He like, I don't know what they worried about. Because oneness with God takes on the character of God. Oh, I don't want to be high-minded. You can't be if you're one with God. God is the most humble being that ever existed. You know why? Because he don't need your exaltation. I am. He told him, he said, who I'm going to tell? He said, I am that I am. He said, man, I ain't got to tell you all these names and all this stuff. Y'all come up with all these names. Y'all need a name. Jehovah this, Jehovah that, Jehovah that. I'm going to give it what y'all want because that's what y'all want. Y'all like names. What's your last name? Y'all want a bunch of names. I'm going to give y'all a bunch of names because that's how y'all want to talk. But really, all you got to do is say, I am. And it's very simple. I am that I am. The simplicity that is in, we've become complicated. Church is usual because it's complicated. And the thing that we should be doing seems unusual. Because the whole crowd going that way. You tell me, if everybody going in that direction, everybody going there, sheep to the slaughter. Everybody going that way, everybody doing the same thing? Did you know the name, I'm doing a little history. Did you know the name Mary, it meant two things? You know, Mary meant two things. It meant water, and then it meant rebellion. Jesus means he who saves. Yeshua, Joshua, all those go together, right? He who saves. He who saves were born from rebellion. Now, what is rebellion? So now rebellion is a good thing, bad thing. Go. Good thing, bad thing. Go.
Bad thing.
Well, because we learn rebellion is bad. Well, but if you're rebelling against slavery. Huh? So the context. Everybody say context. So depending on the context, it defines or gives a charge to what rebellion is. And if Mary is living in a time where everything is going the wrong way, then he who saves is born from Jesus was a rebel. Say it. Come on, go ahead. On up to it. I don't know. See, we hindsight. So we hindsight. Y'all slow down and look at Jesus. Jesus was all the way, 100% against the grain. I tried to talk y'all language. I go to y'all synagogues. But even when I go in there, I'm going to say, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears and sit down and look at you. Remember Luke 4:18? He was reading Luke 4:18. Wasn't nothing he came up with. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me for his anointing. That ain't no special message he had. That was written already, way back in Isaiah, Jeremiah. One of them is written way back. He just opened the book, turned to that part that they've been reading all the years. This is what y'all been reading. All right. I'm gonna say same thing y'all been saying. And he said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. Uh-huh. And they sat down and closed the book. What kind of man? I said, what's the great commandment in the law? Now I want you to understand. You do some study, you understand how the church, how we got. See, what happens is Jesus is right here in the middle of time, and everything was whack before we get to Jesus, and then everything becomes corrected with Jesus, but man still kept their whack ways and started doing the same thing. Just in another version. What's the great commandment in law? Let's try to tie him up a little bit. He said, love the Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, and soul, because that's the Shema. That was already written. That was already written in the Old Testament. They knew that already. Right? Then he said the second one is just like this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Lord, I'm cool with loving God, but them people? You mean I got to love them like I love myself, even though they don't do like myself sometimes? Jesus on some other stuff. And then this, we read further down, this is what he built the church upon, that identity. So beware of the piety and the strenuous zeal of following the rituals. All right, answer me quick. Breaking rules, bad or good? Depend on the rules, ain't it? Come on, we were in the South. We knew what happened here 300-400 years ago. It was rules. It was legal laws. It was literal laws. They said that you weren't, if you were a certain color, a human. You weren't a full man. This is law. No. Y'all understand? This is law. Just like the law. The law, look, I don't want to skip. I do want to skip. Do you know the people that crucified Jesus was the church? Church people at the time? Okay. But do you know why? I'm reading John chapter 11 today. I got a devotional I do. Every day I'm reading John chapter 11, and I started reading. And I got to the part. Let me go read it. Come on. Let me get over to it. And it's right after he's... John chapter 11, you read it, he says, this is when he raised Lazarus. Now I want you to pay attention to what he says And I don't have to go. I don't want to go to it. But he didn't tell Mary, Martha, I'm gonna come and raise Lazarus up. He said, I am the resurrection. Mm-hmm. He didn't say I was going to resurrect him. He said, I am the resurrection. Mm-hmm. So when I get there, who I am takes over. Amen. It's a difference. I don't think you hear me right now. Doing and being. We're so caught up on the doing that we don't know that faith is a being. So when I am the resurrection, wherever I am, everything has to come to life. You get it? Mm-hmm. Are y'all getting it? It's inexhaustible. It's one with the Father. Mm-hmm. Say it. Because now we pass the heat, so now Lazarus is up. In verse 45, and many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went on their way to the Pharisees. We know who, remember the Pharisees are, right? We define them, right? Yeah, he went over there and told them what things Jesus had done. Now, you got to realize Jesus wasn't doing the things that they were doing. He wasn't washing like they was washing with the rituals. You know, they asked him, why are your disciples don't, he said, well, it's not the thing that goes in the man that defiles, it's what comes out. You right? Right? You remember that? He said, why are your disciples in the cornfield picking on the Sabbath? He said, well, if you had a donkey and he was caught up, an ox and caught up, wouldn't you get yours out of the Sabbath? Everybody gets quiet. Double standards. You know what double standards are? That means I can do it, but you can't. I'm better than you. So, you know, whether because I'm a man or whether because I'm a certain color or whether because I'm a Christian, I can do it, you can't. I can talk to God, but you can't. God ain't going to talk to you. Tell me the rule. Tell me the rule and say, God, how you got in contact with unless he spoke to you while you wasn't whatever you thought you was? It's almost asinine. Hold on. When you think about these things, see how asinine it is? See how asinine I think, how insane this is, how utterly crazy some of the ways that we've been thinking about how God functions is? So now he's not, so verse 47. Now watch this, and I saw this today. And I read this over and over again, and I got it. Then gathered the chief of priests and the Pharisees a council. So they got together. And I said, what do we? This man does many miracles. So now they own it up. Because like that was the big one. Resurrection? We ain't never seen it like this. No, he opened the blind boy eyes that time, and they said, the blind boy said, listen, I don't know whether he a sinner or not. All I know is I once was blind, and now I see. And y'all ain't never seen nothing like this since the beginning of time.
That's right. That's right.
See, this man doeth miracles. If we leave him alone, leave him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Now, what's the problem with that? Because they want him to believe on them. Now, you have to understand that socio and socioeconomically and politically, there were so many other levels in this. Mm-hmm. Because now... now you're messing with my money. Because I got them bringing the gifts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I got them bringing the gifts so they can be closer to God. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
And they got to give their sacrifice of it, mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. And we're going to sell the sacrifice to them. Mm-hmm. So the same sacrifice that they got to give to us to make to us, we sold them that. That's a conflict of interest.
That's right.
You get it? Yeah. You selling insurance to, all right, like that. People go to jail for stuff like that, insider trading. You get it? Inside of trading. Like, you go to jail for that. You say, hey, God said you got to give a sacrifice. And then you took your cloak off, took your collar off, and now you got your salesman hat on and say, here, you want a sacrifice? And then what they were doing, Jesus flipped over the tables because what they were doing was selling the sacrifice to people and then on the other side telling them it wasn't good enough. So the people had to go back and pay again. Not only did they do that, you got to know the history. Not only did they... on the time of the Passover and everything was going on, they decreased the currency of the money. So now your dollar was only worth 50 cents. Just for this time when y'all coming to this holy time and y'all just walk into the slaughter because you got to do what the church told you to do. You're going to flip over tables. Y'all misusing these people. You get it now? He's not just mad because they were selling that church. Mm-hmm. You were misusing the people. They believe on him. And watch this. And the Romans will come, shall come, and take away both our place and our nation. Because, see, once again, they were in cahoots with the government. Keep everybody calm. Y'all keep doing all your little ritual stuff. As long as everybody stay calm and nobody really uproots and sees that we got you in bondage. We'll take care of y'all. As long as y'all keep the people domiciled. Keep them calm. No revolt. So they say they're scared. Because if we leave them alone, people are going to believe on him. Then the Romans are going to come and try to shut it down. Right? It says one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest of the same year. So he's the high priest. So that he's that year's high priest. Said to them, y'all know nothing at all. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation, and that the whole nation perish not. Mm-hmm. Now watch this statement. And this spake he not of himself. Listen. But being high priest in that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. So the Lord sat there and spoke to this man in the midst of them trying to set Jesus up. Mm-hmm. The prophecy comes. And he says, watch this, verse 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in what? The children of God that were scattered abroad. In verse 53, from that day they forth, they took counsel to put him to death. Now he prophesies, they don't even understand what he's saying, but he said that Jesus is going to die for the nation, so the nation don't have to die for Jesus. So now it's another connotation. It's another understanding of Jesus as the church now. And Jesus, upon this rock, I'll build my church. It's another connotation now because he doesn't go on a blind mission. He knows exactly what he's got to do and what would happen if he don't do what he's supposed to do. So let's say Jesus decides, say, hey, you know, remember, Lord, if you can, let this cup pass from me, right? Nevertheless, what he said? Not my will, but thy will. Oh, that's two different wills? Uh-oh. Jesus had another will? Come on, man. Come on, man. He showed. I love it. Doesn't leave anything out because it shows us. At a particular time, Jesus has another will. He's one with God but has another will. Y'all better hear me. When somebody cuss me out right now in the church. Now, Jesus ain't had no other will, but no. He said, not my will. In other words, I take what I believe and my will and my thought process and I submit it to yours because yours is mine anyway. This one, other one I got is counterfeit.
That's right. Yes, sir.
On this rock, I'll build my church. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm showing you what it looked like. So now he says, not my will, but he had another will. The scripture after that, right there, we start the next chapter. He said, from there, Jesus wasn't showing himself in the city no more. Look at it. Look at it right after we just read. He said, from then, Jesus ain't And Jesus, therefore, no more walk openly among the Jews. Why you don't walk openly? What you going to do? Trying to kill you. We're going to go hide off in the wilderness too, trap house. We're going to find us a trap somewhere. Somewhere we can live out there where can't nobody find us. A bungalow, whatever they call it. You know what I'm saying? Like just. Because there's another thought process. So now Jesus absolutely went in to the crucifixion head first knowing exactly what he was doing. And he knows, because he could have had another idea. Obviously, he had another idea. And you would have had another idea, too. Come on, you raising the dead. You just raised somebody from the dead. And people eyes open. We need to keep doing this. They got more blind people out here. Let's start some crusades. Let's start some revivals. Tent meetings, right? Let's start. Come on, let's go. You know, y'all know the old revivals used to have with I won't call nobody name, but the old preachers back in the charismatic movement. They doing the healing revival. Come on, let's come on. Let's start a revival in a city, in a certain city, and then we're going to Brownsville, I think it was. Let's start. The Spirit of the Lord is over there. Everybody need to move over there. You ain't know. Now we going over there to get the presence of God, quoting that great is he that is in you. Come on, y'all know the scripture? What's the scripture? Quoting it. Going over there to get the Holy Ghost. Go on over to get somebody to lay hands on you. So now, you know, if we was, y'all know it, he'd let you raise somebody from the dead. You're going to start a ministry. That's according to normal circumstances, that's probably what you should do. According to the normal way people think about things. Because that's how normal course we go. Oh, you got a call, you got a gift on your life. You need to go all in all the world and preach the gospel. So how you think Jesus felt? I mean, it's clicking. He feeding 5,000, water in the wine, people listening to him, people believing on it. Oh, we need to keep this ministry popping. I could do more if I'm alive than if I'm. But then I understand that if I don't die and I keep doing these works, the Romans going to come and kill my whole nation. Yep, you get it? Yep. So now, yes, I'm here for a will. And Jesus said one time, he said he was sorrowful heavy. He's sorrowful heavy, like he was heavy on it. He knew it was coming. He said, but what I'm going to say? Let this cup pass? He said, but no, I came here for this. I'm only here. Let me find yourself. You ready? Church. Find yourself. That I'm only here for that. I know you do other things. We get married and we have children. And we go on vacation and we do different things. We build houses and everything. But you know, what you came here for? The day that you broke ground and you were breathing this air in this atmosphere, on the day you was born, even the day you was conceived, what was the point of that? Have you minimized the point of view? Oh, we've done it. Oh, yeah, we've done it. Church-wise, we've done it. We minimize our point for being here. He said, what am I going to say? I was called here for that. I was called here to save this nation. And not only this nation, but all the other children of God that scattered abroad. It's said right there. The Spirit of the Lord, that man prophesied. He's against Jesus, but he prophesied. He said it's expedient that one would die for all. Go back over to Matthew 16. We'll round it out there. So you need to beware. Beware. Mm-hmm. Then he goes down. We read this before. You ought to read it for time. I won't read it right now. But now we're in verse 13. He said, who's the man say that I am? Verse 15. Who you say that I am? Peter started going off or whatever, right? Upon this rock, I'll build my church. Verse 18, I say that thou art Peter, you too, and upon this rock I will build the identity, the oneness with God, the understanding that I'm one, and it's simple. Come on, say, I am one,
I am one
with God.
It's just that simple.
Say it again.
I am one with God. It's just that simple.
Say it again.
I am one with God. It's just that simple.
One more time. Now, while you're saying that, all the details and the complications that come up in your mind, don't try to worry about how to fix those. Because what's gonna happen is, well, I ain't that good. Well, I don't know every. Have you ever been told that you had to know everything?
No.
But the Holy Spirit knows all things. He's gonna guide you in all truth, show you things that you do not know. Holy Spirit, that's where? Within you. He ain't flying over your head, hovering over you. No. Jesus told him, he said, y'all go, don't take no script, don't take no money, nothing like that. He said, when it's time for you to talk, you're going to know what to say. What? That's faith. Because if you plan your words all the time, you're going to mess it up. I never come to class with notes. I'm cats out the bag. I never come to class with notes. It's hard. I'm not special. I'm trying to describe it, y'all, without sounding no kind of way. I just don't do them. I write down a couple things, but I ain't got no notes right now because I mean, I don't need no notes for one with God. How many things we need?
One.
See, when you believe your oneness, I just remember one time I was writing down something because I thought I'd got something. So I write it down because I don't want to what? Forget it? And the Holy Ghost said, can I forget? I said, no. He said, you can't either then. I remember that day, cause I was scrambling, and I think what happened, my phone might have been dead or something, and I couldn't write it down. I'm like, oh God, so I'm up here, and I felt like that's the last revelation in the history of life. Like, this is gonna be the one. This is gonna be the one that's gonna get them right here, y'all. This is gonna be the message right here. Right? Ain't no one message gonna do it.
Amen.
It's a being. He said, can I forget? I said, no, sir. He said, you can't either. Surrender, surrender. Render means to give oneself. Sir means there's something above. So surrender means to give yourself to something that's above you. And this is the key. No greater love than a man to lay down his life. Right? Deny you. That's surrender. That's how simple it is. But it's so hard because we have so many things that we're trying to maintain of ourselves. True or not true? And so he begins to tell them how it is and tell them what's going on and tell them, he begins to explain right here the thing that we read about in John in another thing, but he said, they're going to come and take me, they're going to kill me and blah, 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 but this has to happen, you know, for the sake of whatever. And Peter rebukes him and said, it's not going to be under you, Lord. Be it far from thee, Lord. This should not be under me. The same thing we would have told him. Your pastor tell you, you know, this is going to have to happen. You're going to start rebuking and say, Pastor, you're missing it. Y'all know we are. But he turned unto Peter and said unto Peter, verse 23, he turned unto Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't need the serpent talking to me again about my thoughts. You are not about to get me to choose my ways above God's ways again.
Amen.
So get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
Why? Why does he call him Satan? Thou art an offense to me. Look at the word offense, a stumbling block, an occasion to fail. It's a movable stick or trigger of a trap. A trap stick, a trap, a snare. An impediment placed in the way and causing one to stumble or fail. An offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God. The things that what?
Be of God.
No, go just one. What's that word right there? The things that what? Be from God, but those that be from men. With men is in what? Possible, right? But not with God, for with God. And then verse 24 says, Jesus and his disciples said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. It's church. Listen to this, please. Y'all go listen to this, please. Just go listen to it. Not for the test. It's going to be a test. But not for the test. So listen to it. We've got to change, right? Yeah, we got to change.
Amen.
We've got to understand that we have to change. Recognize it.